This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
People, are you ready?
That's a good start, wasn't it?
Let's start the show.
Which I keep intending to alter that little Mr. DJ caption there.
That ain't right. It's not PC.
It's the Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 show back in the house and the place to be. And we are never seen all together at the same time.
Nah. Not even sure we actually exist. Yeah. It's kind of weird that we got this show put together. And I think it's been running for 3 months and we've maybe done 4 shows.
Is it as few as that?
Yeah. Four and 5 shows together.
Gosh, we're going to get... But we have great company in place of Doc. So Doc better watch out. This week we are joined by the one and only Michael Payne.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
It's good to be back 2 weeks on the trot. Yes, Doc, what's your job?
Did you get any feedback? Because you were asking people how you went last week.
Yeah, it was mostly it was all positive actually. So I have to apologise to you again.
Why?
Because remember I said you were probably being biased last time.
Fight!
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to fight me, mate.
I do not want it with you.
No.
Aussies are shady.
Yeah. I'm Welsh.
Do you remember that? Yeah, like whatever situation is appropriate, you just came Welsh, came Aussie. Do you remember those days at school when people would chant "fight"?
Yeah,
fight.
Yeah.
Does that still happen?
Pressured. I reckon it does.
Surely,
does. When was the last time you heard or saw that?
This morning.
In adult life. Really?
Yeah, no, I'm joking.
Oh my God.
No, I still get into fisticuffs in the mornings. No, I reckon traditions in school, they just kind of stay there. You know, because there's not much else you can say. Do you know what I mean?
If you're going to get to that basic level of
you're just going to bay, fight. The word you want, the order, the demand.
Some other spirit takes over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've heard it heaps of times. I mean, primary schools are the best place to get into fights anyway, because kids are much easier to beat up than adults.
If I ever want to release some tension, I'd just go to primary school.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pick on the biggest kids.
Start the chant yourself. Fight. What? Really?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, shit, okay. Just throwing fists out. But yes, you're tuned into FUBAR Radio, and we're going to be taking care of you until 6 p.m. today. And we've got a whole bunch of guests going to be coming up on the show later today. We love hearing from you guys. So make sure you hit us up on twitter.com/FUBAR Radio. Email us if you prefer that medium. tuesdaydrive@FUBARradio.com. And I love hearing FUBAR listeners' voices.
Yeah.
Give us a call.
It's a further, deeper insight into who you be. So you can
leave Sarah weird voicemails.
No, maybe don't do that.
Yeah, she wants to hear your voice.
You can call the show, but I don't want anything weird. 0330-223-0200 is the line to get us on. What have you guys gotten up to over your bank holiday weekend?
I think the main thing was the fight, right?
Fight.
Yeah, speaking of fights.
Fight!
That would have been Jay-Z, P. Diddy. That they would have been the ones chanting, fight. Getting back in tune with their inner child.
I boycotted the fight.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so I'm like the only person on earth.
Political reasons, or are you just sort of against violence?
No, I mean, sometimes, hey, you've got to take it there, innit? No, I'm Sarah Love for a reason. But I mean, hey, honestly, sometimes it does come down. I don't promote violence, but I don't really want to see people getting encouraged to,
punch
someone else's head and just watching the onset of future dementia happen before your eyes.
I've got a neighbour who was an ex pro boxer, actually.
Really?
He still lives next door to my parents, and he started to get a bit gnarly. So I've seen it sort of firsthand, the effects of just having your head punched repeatedly for kids, don't do it unless you're getting paid $80 million or above.
I know. And then Floyd Mayweather, he's even like told his son that he has to like quit boxing, is it?
Oh, really?
Because he doesn't want him to have all of these features. Yeah. And it's tragic when you see someone as wonderful as Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you know, he would be in a much healthier medical position, 100%. Wasn't he, if he 100%. Hadn't like taken so many blows to the head.
There is the toss up, though, you know. like
it's really entertaining. So hey,
no, as in he is a, you know, he is a cultural icon. He is a, you know, even though he had a history of violence, he is. You know, he is this ambassador.
Oh, he's
for,
a Don Dada.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? For love, if you like, you know.
And, I love him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's a person on this planet that doesn't love Muhammad Ali. So I think you can, you know, you can sort of tread the fine line between violence and love, even being violent as a career, because everyone knows what they're into it for. You know, every boxer knows that they're going to have to catch a couple of hot ones to the face.
Yeah, but I think in the past there was less like awareness of like the long term effects, isn't it? This is really deep.
It is.
This conversation's got really deep. Should we play a song before like we like go off on a tangent? Which
and hug it out.
Yes. My sister was telling me that I need to rename the show They Digress because I'm constantly just taking us off on some crazy tangent. But yes, you are locked into FUBAR Radio and we always have good tunes for you guys. So get in touch. Tweet us FUBAR Radio. Tuesday Tribe at FUBARradio.com. It's Gangstar. My voice is so mashed today where I could probably sing in that register.
What happened to you, Sarah,
since the last week?
What happened?
It's just partying too hard. Having too much fun.
Yeah.
Teetotal fun. That's the lifestyle.
When you're out getting wild, do you scream a lot? Do you scream?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, I get in people's faces, try and start fights and things like that.
Fight,
yeah,
fight,
just
fight,
go down Shoreditch chanting fight. Yeah.
It takes its toll.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
No, but Friday I was at the Mobb Deep concert in Shepherd's Bush. You missed out.
A big
it's the 20th anniversary. Oh, I should have bought a Mobb Deep tune to play.
Why?
So I've just like been listening to Mobb Deep like all week because it's the 20th anniversary of their infamous
album. I was literally saying, why didn't you?
Well, because play something from my iPhone through the microphone. But yeah, it's the 20th anniversary of their infamous album. Mm. So that was like, God, we're really old.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. And it just reminded me how dope that album was. So I was like, screaming for about 5 hours
Every week on Friday, and then
that continued on Saturday, and then getting drunk on really good food over the whole weekend. Then yesterday was the Breaking Convention Park Jam, which was one of the most beautiful events of the year so far. It was so dope. So again, lots of screaming, lots of enthusiastic jumping around and things like that. And now I couldn't speak this morning. So this is progress that I actually am
rich,
able to communicate.
I think a very rich, sultry tone to it, you know.
Dulcet. You've got,
you sound like a really handsome guy.
You sound like a handsome guy.
Yeah. Your type. But what did you guys get? Yeah, what's your excuse for your voice being as ragged as mine, Hugh?
Mine was similar. I was yelling a lot, but not at anything or anyone in particular. Just yelling.
Oh.
Just kids.
Screaming at kids.
Yes.
At home, screaming. Yeah.
Just on the bus, just yelling at buses.
Yeah, that's what London does to you.
Yeah, London does it to you, absolutely.
So I can relate, definitely. But yeah, you were just telling me, Michael, about some of the activities you've been involved in this last week in Deal Real.
Yeah, so that was a while ago. That was like maybe a couple of weeks ago. But we were just talking about, you know, the sort of resurgence as a pop-up store of Deal Real. And there is a panel on tomorrow, especially targeting ladies. So any ladies into hip-hop and want to pick some brains of people who have sort of made it in the industry, get down to Deal Real tomorrow or get online and find out how you can get involved in that. And it's just a much needed sort of education, I think, that they're providing in these sort of seminars and little talks that they're putting on.
I've heard that they've been pretty cool. Like Friday, I think they had something dope on happening as well, like an install with Black Twang and a bunch of other cats.
First one they had was a grime one, which was quite funny because I spoke on the panel maybe the week after the opening. So they had, you know, Novelist and The Square, Logan Sama, Kano. So, you know, it was a grime affair. And I remember speaking to a girl in the pub, one of the barmaids, who was just telling me how angry she was because basically the whole grime scene was just sort of outside her pub. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, you work in a pub. I don't think, you know, I'm pretty sure that you don't just get really laid back, nice people all the time. So why the musical racism, eh?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. But no, I am meaning to make it. Tomorrow I should try.
Get down there, 100%.
Seeing as it's about like women involved in hip-hop, I guess it sort of ticks a few boxes for me.
Yeah. And you're a part of, you know, Dil Real's legacy in
yeah
history,
I mean I was you know? I worked at the original Dil Real store, which was on Knoll Street, so that kind of like was a different era of Dil Real then the Vince and the rest of the crew they reopened the store and under the name Dil Real, and then that's when you had all those other kind of installs, but it was continuing on from like what of they course. Built at Knoll Street, because we used to have like a lot of installs there, and it was really like a hangout for a lot of artists. So no, it was it's very cool what we're doing, and you know, anything that brings the community together in a positive way that's not just about fight then I think it's good. But no, the Breaking Convention Park Jam, so this weekend they have Breaking Convention, which is like a celebration of hip hop dance culture that happens at Sadler's Wells, and then it all culminates in on yesterday a jam in the park. It's like a old school style hip hop park jam, very very cool. And while I was up there, you had like the Breaking Circles, they had like stage with live performances, and then it did make me smile because they had a session where it was the over 40s cypher. So then they had like the open mic for and then they had like the over 40s b-boy cypher as well, kind of thing.
That was very slowly.
Assisted speaking.
You're gonna need some help with this.
But no, people represented. You know, hip hop keeps you young.
Yeah.
So like
instead of throwing down, where they're just setting it down gently.
Yeah, it was lots of like hand dancing in your chair. But no, it was like really very. Very cool, and I just like the boldness of actually naming it the over 40s.
That is brilliant. I would have just entered that, even though I'm just nowhere near over 40. I would have just entered that.
But how many people, actually stepped up and represented? But so me and my sisters were talking about this, and then we were kind of thinking, are there certain things at certain ages you need to just stop?
Right. Well, if b-boying is one of them, you know. But they've got an event saying over 40s. It can't be. You can't be. Once it starts physically really, really hurting to do things, anything at all, even popping and locking is like a week of arthritis after that. Maybe still start to pull it back a bit. But.
And you might only actually be popping and locking because your movement is very stiff. Naturally
so
popping and locking.
So maybe it gives you an advantage.
I can't. I can't help popping and locking right now. Yeah, yeah. So now that you've highlighted this, this is brilliant. Maybe people just entered for that.
I know. And let's make it clear, we're not ageist at all. I was completely pro the over 40s, and even giving them their own section to enjoy themselves.
What about DJing? Because I mean,
what about it?
If mutual friend of ours, Guy Flagrant in Melbourne, he's quit. He's quitting.
Is it?
He's like, man, I'm 36 next year.
Oh,
come on. He's like, I don't want to be 40-year-old DJing in clubs. He's like, I just don't.
Really?
I want to just focus on the business.
Oh.
It's on his label.
But I guess it's a bit different out there in Aussie to how things like, because, you know, a lot of the crowd there are probably like young and out of control. It's a bit different in Australia.
I think DJ's one though. I mean, unless you're a really, really prominent DJ that has maybe produced and released your own stuff and done tours and shows like that. But if you're just a club DJ, you know, I reckon at some point, what do you reckon?
You reckon?
Look at David Rodigan.
I do. Do you really want to be 50 and DJing in a club?
Like I said, look at David Rodigan. You know, he is a bastion
aged.
Yes, exactly. No. For the aged DJed.
I love him.
DJs.
I feel like I'm getting almost too old. I'm 30. I turned 34 this year, and I've been DJing for 12 years.
But you don't look a day over 33, mate.
But I still feel it though. I feel it even when I'm in there, and I just feel like God. You know, I got to finish at 2 a.m. every night.
If there's a reason that you shouldn't do it, then don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, but if the amount of years that you've racked up is the only reason that you're thinking of quitting,
yeah,
just keep going. If the passion's still there, I think, keep going.
Exactly. Yeah. I think people can do anything they want as long as they're enjoying themselves and not hurting other people. One of my all-time favourite DJs, like one of my biggest inspirations, is a friend of mine, Tony Monson. He's 70-something, but he's kind of like the equivalent of David Rodigan, but for soul music out here kind of thing. But, I mean, he's like a Don DJ kind of thing, and he's still as passionate and on it
exactly.
as, like, more so than even
you've got someone as young as myself. If there's no older people in the scene or sort of participating in the culture, then there's no one for young people and upstarts to look up to, I think. You know, if everyone just kind of bows out at 30, then who are the older generation for people to look up to?
I guess rapping and hip hop is definitely like a good, a good example of like people who are older but still. I mean, a lot of people still feel Jay-Z's like one of the coolest dudes.
He's rap's Benjamin Button.
Yeah,
I genuinely think he's rapped Benjamin Button. Even if you look at the way he's portrayed himself, his image when he first, you know, Reasonable Doubt, he was this mafioso. You know, he had that image, and that kind of gave this sort of mature, you know, outlook.
He's good at adopting whatever image is appropriate for that time. Garner success, isn't it? But I'm wondering what the football listeners think. Like, are there certain things that need to stop when you get to a certain age? Hugh's pretty firm on the the day you hit 35 is a wrap for you, DJ.
I don't think that, but I think it just does depend on how you feel about things. Do you know what I mean? And for me, I don't know. Maybe I am just getting older. And that's just...
These are all the telltale signs. But what do you guys think? Hit us with a Twitter at FUBAR Radio. TuesdayDrive at FUBARradio.com is the email. Or give us a call on 0330-223-0200. What things need to be stopped
when you
get to a certain age? You don't even necessarily need to be old. Because, like, to me, I was talking to my niece the other day who's 11. And I was just talking about brats. Like, I ain't got time for brats, whether you're 2 years old or you're 42. Mm-hmm. So, like I was saying to her, it's different if you're a toddler. But once you get to, like, I'm sorry, 5, 6 years old, certain behaviour needs to be stopping.
Yeah.
And so it could even be an age as young as 10 kind of thing. Mm. So, but what things need to be stopped at certain ages?
I reckon stop wearing flat brim caps after 30.
Yeah. that's a strong one, actually. Yeah. That's a strong one.
Yeah.
Unless you're a baseball player.
Yeah. Even then.
Yeah, but hit us up. Let us know what you guys think. And coming up very soon, we have a super mighty, mighty special guest. So keep it locked to FUBAR Radio. You're tuned into Sarah, Hugh and Michael. And that's actually a track from The Last Skeptic, who he was a guest on the show a few weeks back.
Yeah.
With Doc and I.
Good friend of mine as well.
And me too.
Oh, he's a good
friend
of all of us.
What's his name? Kevin Bacon. Like, everyone is connected in the world.
Yeah, everyone knows The Last Skeptic.
I think he'll be happy about that.
He put on an amazing show, Shoreditch House, the other day. I was lucky enough to be part of that as well.
I meant to make it to that. I think I was away somewhere or something rubbish like that. Nah.
Shout out to The Last Skeptic and Dream McLean.
So looking forward to more music from him. But right now, we have a super special guest that I've been hyped about us speaking to him for ages. Mr. Cool Keith, are you there on the line?
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
Yes, I'm good.
This is actually happening.
Welcome. You know what? But what should we be calling you? Because you have so many different personas as an artist, like, over the years. Like, how do you want to be referred to nowadays?
Cool Keith.
Cool Keith.
That's been back to Cool Keith. I mean, you know, I did a lot of personas. I did Octagon. I did Black Elvis. I did Papa Lodge. I did Matthew. I did, you know, of course, I did a lot of them, but as more in general, it's Keith, right? Cool Keith.
Okay, I've got to say, Cool Keith is my favourite, and it has to go down. For me, I was having a conversation not long ago with Pharaoh Monch of Organised Confusion fame, Simon Says fame, and I was saying to him, okay, who do we think is the coolest MC ever in the history of hip-hop? And so we broke it down to, okay, Slick Rick, Rakim, and Cool Keith. So I think sticking with the Cool Keith... You got to keep that going, man. But what?
Oh, that was cool. That's very cool.
Way cool. And, like, what have you been up to recently, like, musically? What's happening in Cool Keith's world?
Well, I've been producing a lot and programming beats. And, you know, I used to beg Fed and TR and Mo to show me how to do beats and stuff. So I started learning myself. And for the last couple of years, I've just been producing I got a little production. My number one producer stuff with my ID. That's yours here. Number one producer on tracks. That's me. And, I've been producing and trying out different things. And I got a couple artists. And I still make records regardless of being with a record company or not. And I still tour and go on the road. And,
yeah, it's interesting.
You know, I still make records. I still make records regardless of, you know, some artists only work when they have a record deal or they don't have, you know, I work regardless. You know, I haven't been signed to a label in about maybe 10 years.
I know, but it's interesting that you mentioned that, actually.
I still do more than a person that have a record deal.
I know, but it's interesting that you mentioned that because I was curious, like, you know, you coming from the Ultra Magnetic MC's stardom, like, originating there, like, the industry was such a different climate then, such a different terrain to, like, what people are dealing with now. Like, how do you think, what are the differences between how the industry operated then to music business today?
Well, back then, you know, everybody was, you know, it was real personal. The promotion was more reality, even, like, when you look at when Puffy had Bad Boy marching around the streets with the signs. And
yeah,
that's how, you know, we used to give out flyers and posters and flats. People could take them home and hang up. It was more personal and more social, more alive socially, promotion. People walked around the street and handed out everything. And, you know, stickers was on poles everywhere. Now people have gotten kind of more lazier, you know.
Because the internet,
They feel the internet became the best way to promote a record, but people forgot about just going out, like, really touching people, and, you know, just talking to people in general. And
selling mixtapes out the car boot.
No. Yeah, talking about your album coming out. People don't do that no more. Everybody want to sit through their phone and
get hits on the internet.
Yeah, tell a few fans about their record coming out through the phone. I mean, it's cool, but it gets lazy. So everybody wants to stay in the house. You know, a record company used to get buildings with, like, 7 floors in it. And you had promotion companies. You had the photography company. You had different departments, the digital company, the legal department. Now it's like a record company is 2 people with a computer.
Which in a way is a great thing because it opens it up to more people rather than just the select few. But on the other hand, I mean, you were there in the 80s seeing how things were operating firsthand. Like, I just have much more of a feeling where things were being dictated more from the ground up, whereas now you have like this whole machine that's creating these brands, you know, whereas like there was more focused on the artistry, like, who's dope, okay, you cool, we're gonna put our efforts into you, and then that got spread amongst the atmosphere. Is it, do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking what's going on now. I mean, like you say, you just have to adjust, basically.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's good to hear you've been so busy. I heard a rumor, I listened a little while ago, that you were looking up, you're thinking about retiring from music. Is that true?
I get bored with the, you know, sometimes I get bored with hip hop. I mean, you know, a lot of people haven't seen hip hop. I think I've seen hip hop the most. You know, people didn't get a chance to see the graffiti. They didn't get a chance to see people break dance.
I wish I could have.
To rap on, you know, so-called backpack beats and stuff like that. And you know, I think I've done all that. I think I'm done with basically that part of it. I moved on to other things and music. You know, I moved on to challenging myself. You know, everything could be hip hop. You know, if you rap on a Chinese record, you know, loop it. You know, I think people still quote unquote feel that you have to stay in a certain box. You know, you got so many different lanes now of music. Now you got, you know, trap. You got the regular jazz. You got the R&B part of hip hop. You got all kinds. I think all of it could be used, but I think you can't abuse so much of it.
What other genres have you been getting into? What other stuff?
Well, you know, I see a lot of rappers having struggles with it. Staying current and relevant is that I had Ben did the thing. It goes back to when Run DMC collaborated with Aerosmith. You know, it's just the point of I've been doing that too. I did that the same time they started, you know, with the Prodigy and different electronic bands. You know, I'm the type of person to do a song with Maroon 5, whereas other artists back then, they was more like trying to stay with the rules. I think I broke a lot of rules. And
oh, no doubt. That should be your middle name.
Cool, he doesn't need any more names. Keith. He doesn't need any more names. He's got plenty of names.
No, but who are your influences, though? Because that's another thing, like, I guess, that I think is so wonderful about hip-hop is that it draws influences and pays homage to so many different things. Like, you get a schooling when you listen to hip-hop. But coming from that era that you were part of, like the 70s, 80s, you saw the graph. You saw all the things on a street level happening. Like, where were you drawing your influences from?
I grew up in the Bronx where all the stuff evolved from national
Amazing.
To international. So I got to see all that stuff grow from a plant, which made me more a real MC that came from the essence of it, from Dan Bada to T Connection, you know, all of that. I grew up with them. They was rapping before me. I mean, LL and Houdini and T La Rock and all of them had records out before me and stuff like that. You know,
amazing.
I was walking around in the Bronx with Greg Nice, you know, eating Chinese food.
Oh, my God. I love him.
And that was me. So I grew up amongst all that stuff. And then Ultra came out in that second level. And, you know, KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions was a part of Mastermind Productions. Sad was doing a lot of beats with KRS and Scott and stuff. So we Boogie Down Productions could have been Ultra Magnetic. We could have been with them. It was just one apartment full of, that was two people. That
amazing. Two people. And what about beyond hip hop then? Like, what artists, like music, has inspired you?
Well, I grew up listening to like Heatwave. It took me a long time. I didn't know Heatwave was from the British,
yeah.
the British. But I always thought they was from America. Then I found out their research with certain groups was from, like Kool and the Gang and all of them, and who else was. Like, a lot of funk groups came from Ohio and Cincinnati and the Midwest, but I it was shocking when I learned Heatwave came from the British. And I was a big fan of Heatwave and Slave and,
God.
I didn't really listen to a lot of jazz. I grew up on, like, Confunction and Slave and Heatwave and Brass Construction and a lot of stuff like that. Those were the records I collected.
I always assumed you would be a Parliament Funkadelic fan.
George Clinton, yeah, I listened to that stuff. Cameo, stuff I was buying that stuff in the past, like when I was little. So that inspired me to go make kind of funk influenced records that I made myself, you know. And then I listened to the Neptunes; they came out. But I was doing the stuff before Pharrell, when he used to be funky before he made Happy.
Shots fired. Before he was biting Marvin Gaye. Before he was biting Marvin Gaye and had to get shut down.
Oh, yeah,
pay the price.
He took the sound of Marvin Gaye, and of course, everybody knows he. No, I mean, he never gives Curtis Mayfield his props, you know, but he sounds like Curtis Mayfield.
Glad
but,
you said
you
that.
Know, I guess what people don't know won't hurt them, you know, but I know myself, but
exactly.
He's a good artist. I'm not knocking what he does. He's a good artist for what he does, but, you know, but I know where everything came from.
Exactly,
so,
and that's why I think...
It's just the young kids don't know any better, you know.
But you see, it's not fair to take advantage of these young kids. That's why I feel it's the responsibility of the older generation to make sure stories are getting told correct and things people are getting schooled, then you can't just pull the wool over kids' eyes and they're like, yeah, Blurred Lines, this is original.
And then the other thing as well is that it's good to open people up to more artists. So if you go, hey, you really like this particular person, like say, like for Pharrell as an example, going, hey, you know, if you really like this tune, this was inspired Marvin Gaye, go and check out his back catalogue, and then people get more of an insight into so many more amazing artists. It's kind of
a lot of artists don't want to tell where they got a lot of things from.
Yeah, it's weird.
They want to feign this sort of 100% originality thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in this day and age, we all know that nothing is completely original. Everything is like a hybrid of something else.
Right.
But what's your take on that, bearing in mind like the earlier era of hip-hop making, where it was about digging and sampling and scratching the labels off of your vinyl and all of that? You know, it was a different setting then, but some people will level that accusation at hip-hop from that era, the same way people don't want to pay dues and give credits.
I love the sample stuff. I still like to sample something, but then I still like to make something brand new from scratch. I mean, it all should be in the same basket. I love the people who want to make some new stuff, but I'm not going to base myself on, you know, I don't want to take all Ron Carter's music or Ronnie Laws. I don't want to use all that stuff that they did. That's them. You know, some people want to, you know, build their own catalog and their own legendary status or legacy and say they made some brand new stuff. Mm. So that's one thing I could say. You know, just like Confunction made records, I made Black Elvis, and, you know, I made original albums also. So I don't want to, you know, you can sample stuff too, but still, you know, you don't get that full credit of being a true originator.
Mm. I think if I could just sort of interject, I think back then as well, there was actually a culture of crate digging. The fact that a lot of producers sort of prided themselves on digging in the crates kind of made it obvious to people that they were getting this inspiration from other music, from music that had gone before them. But I think now people are dropping all these tunes and aren't, you know, Sarah said, sort of paying homage to the originators and saying, okay, and like you said, if you like this, go and, you know, for instance, I don't know if you've heard, there's a British singer-songwriter who I'm friends with, Ed Sheeran. He used to cover a song called Wayfaring Stranger, which no one kind of knows who wrote this song, but a lot of people, including Johnny Cash, have covered this song. It's a famous folk song. He used to cover a version by a guy called Jamie Woon, and when he played it live, he used to tell people, Jamie Woon's album is out now. Mirror Writing is out now. Go and get that album if you like this song. Yeah. Go. And for me, that's the ultimate, you know, paying homage to where you got the inspiration from. But then you get artists, you know, like Pharrell that will drop a tune called Happy, or will sing like Curtis Mayfield.
But then isn't it Ed Sheeran who does that song that sounds uncannily like the Marvin Gaye Let's Get It On? And that really aggravates me because I'm a major Marvin Gaye fan.
Ed knows this himself. And
so how did that end up happening?
The thing about it is that you know, some groups are very, you know, some people are very arrogant, but you know, I've never heard an interview one time when he said one of those type of people that, you know, with the familiarity that he said he would like, but you know, I never heard anything like. I mean, people think it's brand new, and that's just up to them to feel that way. But I hear it all the time. Mm. So I already know, you know, I listen to the Superfly album, you know, I already know, you know, so, you know, I listen to albums before that, so, but my thing is that, it's just that, you know, you can, digging in the crates to me is very, it's cool, it's a cool thing to do, but I think it gets trendy also. I think still with those groups like, you know, Heat Wave and them, they didn't have nobody to sample from, they, you know, Confunction and them, and, you know, I was looking at a thing with Nile Rodgers with Sheik. I was like,
wow.
I didn't realize they did so many things. Yeah, you know, I just thought they was just Sheik. And I was, you know, then he was having an interview. He was saying he produced David Bowie's album and he did stuff for so many other people.
Mm-hmm. The era of the bassline, they were like running things then.
You know, they did stuff with Diana Ross. And, mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know all this stuff.
Even influencing the Smiths. Even
You know, I just thought there was just one group that just did their own thing, but behind the scenes, you felt, and you know, I've got to see that they was a part of a lot of other things.
That whole era of pop, they really dominated so much of it. But I'm loving all the, like, the references that you're pulling up. But what are you working on at the moment? Like, what's happening in your world? When what should people be keeping an eye out for?
I just finished something that I got back again. We are, you know, I just finished the Big Secret album again that everybody wanted to see again. You know, the characters came back and it's a big surprise, you know.
Mm.
I just finished the Big Secret.
So when is that coming out?
Well, we just finished it. I finished it, I think, last month I finished it.
Okay.
Of course, you know, people waiting for that, of course, and that's with, you know, me and, you know, everybody's back on deck, DJ Qbert and everybody, we just knocked that out again, so...
Cool.
You'll hear about that. I'm quite sure you're going to know what that is in a minute. And,
well, you got to make sure you hook us up with the tunage. You know. And what about like visiting us in Europe? Have you got anything like that coming up?
That's in Europe. I got some shows coming up. I'm working on my album, my number one producer stuff, and I just finished a lot of things. I just make records regardless because I like to make records, whereas everybody else. Made records to meet a certain standard of the record company time. Like they want to make 14 tracks according to the release date. I record all the time around the clock without even knowing when a song might come out. I just keep making songs and piling them up and making songs. I make songs kind of natural like Prince. I record all the time, just making songs and making them. And, I could stack up maybe 100, 200 songs a month and start, like, you know, just keep
putting
making
the project
them
together. Well, we look forward to hearing it. And you've got to make sure you keep us posted. If you're in London, please, please come and see us in the studio at Foo Bar.
Oh, yeah, I like to, definitely tell the people out in London, thanks for being... there for me from day one since I landed off the plane when I got off in Europe, when Ultra first landed.
Aww.
I felt like I was the Beatles,
Yes. For real, we love you here.
Come back.
Amazing.
Well, I remember when I first came to London, some kids ran up to me in the street and they was like, oh my God, they seemed like they wanted to faint because they was like, I never thought you would come over here. And that was when we first came to Europe.
Oh my goodness. Well, next time we talk to you, I definitely want to hear all of those stories as well because, this man.
Oh, yeah. Well, ever since then, I've been to Europe a lot and traveled around the world, but I should be over there, I think, next month. I'll be in Europe next month.
But it would actually be fascinating to hear from your side how, because I've heard so many people who were at those shows on that first Ultramags tour and everything, and I was far too young to be out there.
Yeah, with Tim Westwood and everything, he was showing us around, and that was my first time in Europe.
That's a classic era for hip-hop out here, seriously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it would be great to catch up with you again in the future. So make sure you keep us posted with any of your tunes. And thank you so much for chatting to us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, too, and everybody as well. Everybody be safe and have a prosperous future.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
But we'll be seeing you soon.
Cool. That was bloody positive.
Yeah. That was mad cool.
And until then, I'll send Eric your email. Maybe I'll send you a couple of leakage. A couple exclusives to play for, I want to send you a couple exclusives and stuff.
Can't wait. So we'll catch up again soon.
And that's a good thing too. People are not dropping exclusives anymore. People need that. Everybody takes too long to make a record now. What happened to in the 80s, a lot of the, artists that was my artist mates back then, they can't make a new record. I don't know. They can't adapt to the time change. Well, my style was always futuristic, so it just kind of blended into the future anyway. So I don't have a problem writing. And my writing is still up to date and cadences. I don't sound,
Which you've always been so influential on that front, like as a rapper, to some of the most complex rhymers around today. You got a reference called Keith, when you think of those guys as well. So, yes,
well,
we can't wait
good.
To hear it. And I've got to throw it back and drop an Ultramags tune for you, FUBAR listeners. Thank you so much for joining us,
all right,
Mr. Cool
Keith. Y'all continue on and happy as well. Y'all peace out and love. And like I said, remember Original. He's the best.
Yes. Okay. So here it is. I absolutely adore this song. One of my all-time favorites. It's a certified classic. I had to take it there. But much love. Thank you so much. Yeah.
All right.
Peace out. You take care.
I'll see you later.
Bye. You know what? Your cool key. Tell me what's on your mind. Drake classic Business. That was kind of remarkable. That's a real hip hop OG we just had on the line.
That was a life goal, just like achieved right there. You know?
Oh no.
He even wished us well. It's brilliant. I like that.
He even cared about our well-being.
Exactly. Like for the rest of the year now, I'm on a high. You know?
Wow, if you missed out, you need to go and listen back to the Foo Bar Radio podcast. We just had the man like Cool Keith on the line chatting to us. And right now, we're joined by another hip-hop legend nonetheless. Doc, are you with us?
I'm here.
Yeah, he is.
Big dog.
Hey, you going, mate? I've chatted to you for a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. We still haven't even crossed paths.
I know.
You came back, I immediately bounced.
People are asking questions. What are you up to, though? Wagwan, brethren.
I'm just filming my trailer, bitches.
Yeah, bruv.
What is your trailer like? Describe it to me.
You know, I'm a number four. So in film parlance, you basically have cast numbered from one to whatever. It could be into the hundreds, depending on how big the cast is. So your number sort of 1 to 10 are your principal cast. 1 to 5 are sort of what they call hero characters. And on this one, I'm a number four. So I get treated pretty well.
Strong.
But if the 1 or 2 is not in, then
get upgraded.
A 1 or 2 trailer, which is like,
oh, so everyone's in a trailer.
And no, you each got
so
your
some
own
people
trailer.
Have that's got like the room at the Four saying, Seasons, like, and then Doc's in the trailer.
Most days, I've basically got a trailer with a bathroom and a little table and a sofa, enough room to swing a cat. But if the 1 and 2s aren't in, I'll get the 1 or 2 trailer, which is
are you getting all
two
Dima?
Rooms. It's a full on Winnebago, baby.
Swing a polar bear.
Am I getting
Diva?
I'm
get
Diva, man. I was born that way.
What was the last thing that you demanded from someone on set?
So many demands. It's hard. Like sometimes
stop breathing.
No
more breathing.
While
I'm on set. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No more eye contact.
Eye contact. Yeah.
Just look at my shoes.
Look at their shoes. Not even my shoes, man. Look at your shoes as I pass.
Anyone you catch not looking at their own shoes is ejected from the set. It doesn't. I expect no less from you, to be honest.
Mate, what are you actually working on? What are you doing?
Oh, it's like a 3-part horror series for ITV. It's kind of like a little mini series. About like satanic worshippers,
and as the
it's just reflecting his creepy normal lifestyle, really.
Do you don't sort of, you know, being black, you don't die early or anything, do you?
Nah, man. I'm standing.
That's nice.
No spoilers.
So are you
progress,
and you're not the killer either?
yeah, exactly.
You don't die first, and you're not the killer. This is amazing.
Progress, man.
Yeah, I'm bucking all sorts.
This is like paradigm shift.
Yeah. This should have been a footnote in Martin Luther King's dream, you know? This should have been like a PS.
I want to see a film
where a black guy doesn't die in the first scene.
And does not kill in the first scene.
How are you enjoying the show, Justin?
Oh, it's brilliant. I'm warming your seat.
Justin.
Nicely. Yeah, that's my real name, by the way.
Titles.
Yeah. Doc's just exposed me nicely. Yeah, my real name for all the listeners is actually Justin.
Justin's
but you
a lovely
can call
name.
Me Michael.
You know, it happens to me all the time when I'm doing stand up. Like, I get, if I'm too friendly with certain comedians and they're hosting, they often, like, you get this situation. And now, ladies and gents, Ben. Dude, come on, man. What the hell? Now I've got to explain that as my opening line.
Like, yeah.
Joke.
Yeah, that works okay for
you.
Yeah,
it slips out.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you heard, we were just talking to Cole Keith of Ultra Magnetic MCs.
Yeah, man, how was that? Was he good?
Yeah, legend.
Sometimes dudes are monosyllabic. He was good.
No,
he
was really, really
good,
sort of forthcoming.
Talker.
Yeah,
just
asking
one question and he just goes and goes.
And he wished us well.
He did.
At the end, he cares about our well-being, Doc.
So, I like that.
Yeah,
he really
I like
is cool.
I like that
by nature.
So, hey, but
I saw a little ad popped up on my screen today, saying that Michael Payne had a tune coming out with Tommy Lee, and I thought,
yes,
there's a rapper who's called himself Tommy Lee, and I looked close and I was like, no, that's actually the Tommy Lee.
Yeah, Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, mate. I've got a tune coming out with him on the 19th of May, which is brilliant, actually. Yeah, it's crazy. Like Nick Taylor, he's an Australian producer, a big sort of EDM producer over in the down in the Antipodes, and he's a mate of mine, and he just asked when he came over to London to record some stuff. He got me, Sway, and a few other people in, and he was just like, yeah, as an aside, by the way, Tommy Lee's going to be on this tune. And I was like, what do you mean, the guy who made the first sex tape, like Pamela Anderson's ex?
As much a landmark for me as
Have you
guys.
Seen? You've got to see it.
I've not even seen it. Sorry.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, you can't forget it if you've seen it. You can't unsee it.
Really?
It's brilliant.
He makes music. Tell me what makes music.
Sweet music.
Yes.
My goodness. That sounds like quite a concoction.
It is. It is a motley crew, if you like.
I got you did that.
Thank you,
Doc. How long are you? How long are you actually away for?
Till the end of May, and then I'll be back finally. I'm sure, like, it's the first show I'll be on YouTube will be somewhere else.
Yeah, we'll make sure.
Maybe it'll be me and you, Doc.
The ice cream man must have heard we're talking to you, Doc. He's rolling by right now. I know you always get excited when you hear the ice cream man.
Should I pick you something up, mate?
I'll get you a 99p flake.
Can you get me an oyster?
Yeah.
Oh my God! You know what I was saying with my sister the other day? How grimy is whatever the hell? God knows if that thing ever gets clean when they make the 99 flake. Yeah. You know,
because you just see
what is going in there.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a few stationary ice cream vans. You know, just cotching there, no one cleaning it. Just literally
that
just,
hasn't been cleaned since it
and
was made.
And what do they do during the winter months? That's the other.
It doesn't get clean. That's for sure. They get terrorized by kids you know, they're like, you want to throw snowballs at me and terrorize me.
Hugh's got an amazing theory that they cut meth.
They do. That's what they do.
And that's where Breaking Bad comes from.
Yeah.
That's why, kids love that ice cream.
Yeah.
They're fiending for ice cream. It's like,
can I get the rock one? Thanks.
But
I'm like an oyster right now, though. Seriously.
For real, though. Serious, though. If you can bring me an oyster,
real talk.
But you know what we were asking people today, like as part of yesterday was the Breaking Convention Park Jam, which was absolutely wonderful. And I was so sad that you weren't there, Doc. It was legendary. It was wicked, like one of the best events of the year. But they had this wicked section of the show. They had like a normal cypher, open mic type thing. But then they had a 40 years plus cypher. And then they had a 40 years old plus B-boy cypher also. But it was brilliant. It was wonderful.
With like knee supports and everything.
Yeah, and Zimmer frames, all of it. And it made me think about, are there certain things that should stop at certain ages? I love all of everybody who took part yesterday. And I'm not ageist at all. And I think you should keep on rapping as long as you're not damaging my ears.
But I think it's easy. It's easier for you, though, isn't it? Like, you could just keep DJing and then you probably get an OBE like Norman Jay or some shit. No one's going to question that. Whereas if me or Michael keep rapping until our like 60s, people are going to be like, bruv, allow it.
No, dude, I actually plan to keep rapping. I'm going to fully retire from rapping like when I'm 65. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you're actually going to retire?
At the retirement age. Yeah. Get a pension in. You know what I mean? That's my plan.
I was going to start when I'm 65.
Good. Yeah. That's good to do that, I think. Yeah. You know? Once you finish working in the rat race, just think, instead of, you know, going and playing golf in my sort of twilight years, I'm just gonna be a gangster rapper.
Down on wet.
But also, I was just saying, like, after the toddler age, you got to stop acting like a brat. I know I'm harsh. I'm an auntie 8 times. I've been an auntie since I was 5. Ain't got time for brat. So I'm wondering, are there certain things that need to stop at certain ages? And we've been asking the Foo Bar Radio listeners. But Doc, what do you reckon? Have you got anything that you think there's a clear cut-off?
I would say drugs is a big one. There's a point where you've just got to say, you know what? I'm bored of me and my behaviour.
this ice cream van.
Again, I reckon that's something for 64.
I'm truly hoping that day will come for me one day.
We all do,
I'm
mate. Sure it will. We all hope that. we did actually get an email in at Tuesday Drive at foobarradio.com. This one's from Declan and Kenzel Rice, and he says he's just hit 25. He's feeling old. Yeah, he wants to know, is it too late for me to go to festivals?
once. I don't want to shame myself in front of the teens by looking like a grandpa. 25.
Hold on. Shit, I was like, did I miss here?
That makes me feel really old. Yeah.
You should be in the easy take in the piss category. You know what I mean? 25.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
That means I want to kill him.
Is it Declan?
Declan, mate. Declan. You are an idiot. I'm sorry, mate.
Declan, you're just a baby. It's okay.
25.
Dude, that said, you can be a grandpa at 25 nowadays.
Yeah.
That's true. If you work hard enough.
and your kids do as well, then you know what I mean? That's a dream.
Gosh, that kind of like seriously insulted all of us, Declan, as well, man.
Yeah,
now
dude.
I'm like,
come on, man, you're just
questioning my whole life.
You've got a good sense of irony, or you are genuinely an idiot, mate.
No, Declan, you're all good. Seriously, you rave it up as much as you like, mate. Yeah. I take my parents out to hip hop jams. We have another one.
Zoe in Brum. She says she's 32 and feels a wee bit too old for kissing hot young boys now.
Never!
But I enjoy it so much, so I ain't stopping.
You're in your prime.
Should stop.
You're in your prime, 32. You're literally in your prime.
I'm loving it, Zoe.
What's hot young boys, though? Like 16? Okay. How young is she going?
You didn't say
how
men.
Young is she? How young is she? She didn't say men. Yeah. She said hot young boys.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you need to email us back, Zoe, and verify. We don't need to call the police on you. Tuesday drive at foodbarradio.com. Are there certain things that need to stop by certain ages? Let us know what you think. Doc, it's lovely talking to you as always.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Before I go, I should sign off by saying that when my pops was 49, mm-hmm. he went to a party and he met a girl who was 19.
Aww.
And... yeah, that sort of kicked off, took her home, got to know her. He started telling her he was like a glamour photographer when actually he was photographing like items for the Little Woods catalogue.
That's glamorous.
But she went for it and he got some like tasty little snaps of her. And basically pimped it out, big star, man.
But then
he fell in love with her.
Love is love.
I think I remember seeing that on Crime Watch.
Yeah, man. Twisted. I found those photos.
You're traumatized.
Love you, Doc.
We'll catch you soon, dude. Next week, we'll chat again, I hope.
Yeah, man. And maybe we'll do a rap about anything next week.
Because I don't want
to.
I've actually been like deliberating, Doc, over whether I should sort of do this. But I can't feel your boots, mate.
You should do it, man.
I can't feel your boots, mate.
It,
you know, though that's. For me, that's your
baton.
Legacy, yeah. But then it's, you know what I mean? I think you only pass the baton when you're bowing out, and it's just a hiatus right
true.
Now,
yeah.
you know?
True.
I'm just, I'm warming your seat, but I'm not filling your shoes, mate.
Yet.
I respect
Yet.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I respect that. That's a new thing.
But have a good
guys,
day, have a good shoot. Yeah.
You too, bro.
You're locked
enjoy your trailer.
Before I get back on set. Yeah, listen, I always enjoy it, man.
Good.
Every time you walk past, you see it rocking.
That trailer lifestyle.
Come knocking.
You know he's by himself.
Yeah. Literally just rocking.
Rocking. later,
Doc.
Peace.
Roots Maneuver. UKOG, you're locked into Food Bar Radio with Sarah, Hugh and Michael. We did just speak to Doc, but he ain't in the house.
How was that? Was it good? Because obviously Mr. Michael Payne, you're filling in for Doc Brown.
Mm.
How was it interviewing him on his show?
Weird.
Yeah?
Weird. It kind of made me get a bit philosophical. And am I here? Is it?
Yeah. What's real? Why is the sky blue?
Had to just keep thinking cogito ergo sum. Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. So that's all I need to know right now. I exist right now.
Yes.
Don't know in what realm, but I know I exist.
Wow. But yeah, you guys were saying that you watched this, what's his name? Mayweather. And
Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao.
So do we actually, when do you first see these people after the fight? When do you first see people after this the fight? Is that like, I mean, because they must need to recuperate for a while, right?
I think it depends. I know Manny had to go, he's going to have shoulder surgery and stuff like that. But I don't know. It wasn't like a big blow-for-blow fight, so there probably wasn't really any major injuries, I'd say, apart from him hurting his shoulder. But it was a really boring fight, and what was disappointing about it is it's the most expensive fight ever in history, the largest purse, and it was the fight of the century. That's definitely was claimed as fight of the century, and it was actually just 12 rounds of really boring defensive boxing. And And so it was not very exciting at all. But what I do, Floyd, the amount of money that they are making is just unbelievable. Like, I think even Floyd got paid $48 million or something, $180 million each or something like that.
Mind-boggling. Some crazy figures like that.
Mind-boggling.
But it just shows you it's all about the power of marketing, promotion, and hype, in it, like,
yeah,
just to get it to that point. Because I was hearing people talking about why aren't there more boxing matches that take place on this kind of level. But I guess it's because Mayweather's just got such power over the machine of marketing, in it, where, yeah, well, I mean, that he's brings interest.
He's got one of the best records ever. It's 48, and he's never lost a fight ever, never been knocked down. So he's very, very, obviously very, very good. But the story of Manny and what he's done for the Philippines and for so many people, and his story of his rise to being, you know, one of the best boxers in the world, is just so incredible. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. Which, you know, as we were even talking about Muhammad Ali before, who's, you know, so it's such a charismatic boxer. Floyd is—he's just seems like a pretty strange dude. Seems like a pretty strange, and just me and Michael were just talking about it this afternoon about some of the ways, some of the stuff that he spends his money on. It's just absolutely wild. Like, he spends like nearly £10,000 a year on boxer shorts. He never wears the same boxer shorts twice, ever.
That's ridiculous.
I've heard stories about, you know, like, apparently David Beckham's the same. Will
just
wear a pair of tighty whiteys and throw them away.
Anyone who's living like that just makes me think, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Too much money. Do you know what I mean?
It's crazy. Like, nothing to do with you as a sports person or the example, you know, but that's just stupid. That's irresponsible. That's ridiculousness.
Because it's a bit of a balling thing. You don't want to say ever wear the same shoes twice.
I know.
But he really does that. He really does that, and he just leaves shoes
wherever he is. That's more money than sense. That's what that is.
That's a very good example.
He's really got one bank account that has like £300 million in it or something like that. Like, he's really, really crazy.
Just to buy boxer shorts with.
Like, he travels with Ziplocs of hundreds.
What a ridiculous thing to spend money on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's like literally
all the things,
like,
he could be doing for the world with his profile and his bank account, and he's buying boxer shorts.
And he's got, like, his house in, he's got a house in Miami and one in Vegas. And in the Miami one, he's got a fleet of white cars, and in the Vegas one, a fleet of black cars, and a white house and a black house.
Mad.
So both of them have white house with black cars, or so black house with white cars.
Do you ever talk about, like, why he has that, or what the motivation is?
I think he's just a really, really strange dude.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think it's probably quite normal to think that that's what you should do when you're on that level of wealth, when you're American, or when you're indoctrinated with the American dream. Like, that's just what you do. You're ostentatious. You use money to flaunt your status. To establish what your status is.
I think, you know, it's also because, obviously, you know, we can sort of pick away at all the ostentatious and flamboyant things that he does, but to be fair, you know, he does employ people as well, and I think that's, you know,
he has a cleaner, he has I don't know much about Floyd
Mayweather, but he employs hundreds of people
to do stuff.
No, I'm not one of the people. I wish I was one of the people he employed.
When he wants poached eggs, and then another one who does the boiled eggs.
Yeah, someone to beat his wife when he's not there.
Zing! He's weird though. Do you know, he also makes his security guards fly on a separate private jet that he owns because he's scared of the extra weight.
Purely out
the carbon footprint, you twat.
That's the whole thing, isn't it? Like, you've got so much money, like you're saying, Sarah, you could have such a big influence on so many positive changes around the world. How could you just throw money away so frivolously and not feel like a shit person about it?
But I just think, and that's why you have to respect people like Muhammad Ali so much, because he had nothing like the kind of bank account, you know, but he used his charisma, his voice, and his talent to, like, to become a worldwide icon and still respected today. And he actually influenced civil rights. Mm-hmm. He changed, like, millions of people's lives in America, you know, and all over the world, kind of like taking, like, the realizing how much money was being made with Thriller in Manila, and then being like, why aren't we taking this money to Africa and then going to do Rumble in the Jungle? You know, like, all of these things is like, use your brain for the greater good.
Indeed.
I'm not knocking Floyd Mayweather at all. I have total props for him. Like, I know very little about him other than he's minted and he's a boxer sort of thing. But, you know, it just it upsets me to see that, because all it takes, when you go to certain places in the world where there's a family living on $50 a month. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and you're with this family, it's like, just the price of that one pair of boxer shorts probably is more than this family make in a month.
Yeah.
You know, and so I can't really rate that. I'll be like, yeah, but that's what happens when you're boss.
But he's really well known for making huge bets as well. Like he bets like over £1 million bets on certain things. He just does crazy stuff and doesn't give a shit if he loses. You know what I mean?
I heard he took $250,000 to Vegas with him in cash to blow in a strip club eventually when he won the fight.
This is the problem with being rich. The more rich you become and the more upper class you become, the more vacuous your life is. You don't know how to like actually feel stimulated or enjoy breathing.
Do you think just by being rich you automatically move up a class? That's an argument to be had within itself. Do you think that Floyd Mayweather is, for instance, because yes, he's got all of this money, but you know, obviously it's a well-known fact that he is pretty much illiterate, for instance. So his education,
I think you can be upper class and illiterate as well. But no, I was saying it's the same disease affects both, doesn't it? The upper classes have a vacuous existence, and so do people who are filthy rich, because it's like, and I think also as you earn more money you feel as though you ought to be living a different kind of lifestyle to necessarily what you lived before. You need to show everybody that you are out of the hood and you're doing XYZ sort of thing. But it's just like whack, because it doesn't actually enrich your life or bring anything more, you know, growth to you as a person or to the people around you, does it?
I think as someone in Floyd Mayweather's position, for instance, he could be a good sort of a fairy tale story for kids that, you know, as violent as it is, who want to be boxers, for instance, you know. I kind of feel because
it's a great discipline, boxing.
Yeah, exactly.
That can be applied to other areas of life.
And I think that he kind of, you know, he is a success story. That goes without saying. But I think it's in a different way to, for instance, a rapper who comes up, makes all this money, but then they always kind of seem to poke fun at the people that they should be inspiring. That you'll always hear these rap lyrics of, you know, for instance, Makes, when he said, "I don't understand language of people with short money," and you're like, dude, but it's not probably too long ago that you were one of those people.
That's
so how can you
I
have
don't
lost your mother
to
tongue?
Those rappers.
Indeed.
You've got to protect your
to.
Ears from the parasites.
Indeed.
Yeah. So
hey, I reckon it's good to sit here and we, you know, we can hypothetically talk about, like, and also judge Floyd for his frivolous spends. But in all honesty, if you did earn that much money, what would you? Surely you'd frivolously spend on something.
I pretty much think if I was to make a few million now, I'd buy my parents a really, really nice house. I think I'd do that. That would be my biggest
instant
spend.
London just broke. Michael Payne, you're so sweet. Michael Payne.
That would be my biggest sort of spend. I'd treat myself, don't get me wrong, but I've never really been like a flashy person, to be fair. Even when I signed a deal with a major label, I'm just all black, everything. I work up like this. I think it's right to treat yourself, man.
Yeah.
But I think it's wrong and possibly unethical to do stuff like, you know, buying a new pair of boxers every day when that money, you don't need to be spending that money. You could have maybe even just 365 pairs, one for every day. Yeah, cool. But don't spend like thousands and the tens of thousands of pounds on something as trivial as underwear when you could be changing a kid's life, you know, getting a kid a scholarship, for instance, in paying for some kid's education. Maybe Floyd Mayweather does that. Maybe he's just got money that this is all spare change from changing lives.
He should invent biodegradable boxer shorts, and then it would be a more ethical choice to spend £10,000 a year.
Yeah. and start putting your bodyguards on your own bloody plane, mate. I think that's the first step in the right direction.
What about you then, Hugh? What would you frivolously spend money on?
I reckon a gold toilet.
Yeah,
something, maybe a gold bathroom, just for my special time, when I want to to the office, do all my best thinking in there.
Yeah. Drop the kids off at the pool.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing it somewhere a little posh.
No, not at all. Why should you? Like that's such an intimate act, isn't it?
For real. Yeah. And you know what? Let's get back to this. I want to know what FUBAR radio listeners would frivolously spend money on as well. But before we hear from you guys, we have another special person on the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Bonkers, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
There he is.
Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
You're welcome. I'm fine, thank you. Yourself?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Bonkers is a very, very well-mannered MC, by the way.
I know, I'm feeling it already. We've never actually...
I'm trying to,
met before. So, yes, formal, I've never met this person, hello. No, thank you so much for joining us. What are you up to at the moment? Where are you at?
I'm currently in Collier's Wood. I just went to JD Sports and frivolously spent on a tracksuit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go eat some food quickly now, and then I've got a show later on.
That's the one. Treat yourself, bonkers. Treat yourself. You deserve
yes.
it.
Yes.
And what's coming up in your life musically? Like, what should people be, like, keeping their eye on in the bonkers world?
I've got my debut single entitled Rerun the Block, which is due for release, I think, on the 7th of June. It's either the 7th or the 8th. So at the moment, you know, I'm just running with that, performing it as much as I can. We just put the remix, well, premiered the remix yesterday, which features Michael Payne.
Yeah.
And a few others. Just trying to run with the campaign. I'm really enjoying it at the moment, though. It's my debut single, so it's the first time I'm doing a lot of things. You know what I mean?
It's your debut single?
It is.
That doesn't seem right. Are you sure? You sure you got that right? No, because I. Your name's been buzzing around from time, blood.
Yeah. But this is the first time I'm actually selling any music. This is the first bit of music I've ever sold.
Yeah, you've had a massive presence online since you first sort of came out, as it were. So I suppose people would be forgiven for thinking that you have released music sort of commercially before now, but it has just been sort of online on the SoundCloud previous to this, hasn't it?
What's the reason for that? Just
a smart
timing thing, or?
It wasn't really a big plan I had from years ago. It was just I enjoyed making music and releasing it. And I release a lot of stuff spontaneously as well, because I like to engage with my fans so much. And I'm so, like, interactive online. I try to speak to everyone and reply to everyone. So I feel like I could literally say, you know what, guys, I'm going to drop a song at 7 tonight. And then my core fans will tune in just because I'm interactive with them. Do you know what I mean? And I like to do that a lot. This is the first time I've actually, sold something. So it's just like taking that step over into turning it into an actual career now, as opposed to just something that I enjoy doing.
Mm. Well done. How do you describe yourself, like, musically? Like, if you were to meet someone on an aeroplane or something and they were like, oh, what do you do? I make music. What kind of music do you make? You would say...
I would say I started rapping because I couldn't sing, and then I found auto-tune and I sing a little bit now.
You can sing, mate. You grab me. Is it Pretty Brown Eyes? Man, you sing and sound this great.
Yeah, no, thank you. But I just never had the confidence to do that before. So I think, rap music is definitely one of my favourite genres, but I'm really eclectic in that sense as
Indeed.
Well. So I listen to a lot of indie music and just loads of different styles of music, do you know what I mean? So I started out rapping. I've just gained the confidence to sing more recently, started feeling myself a bit. So, I'm just enjoying it, man.
So it's singing, rap, guitar music? Not quite, Sarah.
I can't play guitar myself, but... I'm actually in the process of looking for a band. I'm trying to get a band together. So
oh, well, I can hook you up with some great musicians.
Oh, really? Yeah, that'll be dope.
Let's talk after the show.
That sultry tone again. I like that. Let's talk after the show. I like what's going on here.
Never met you. But no, I know you've got a run. You've got important things to be doing. I want to play one of your tunes. We've got Run the Block. We Run the Block. But do you want to hear the remix or the original?
Yeah, you select. You be the selector, Bonks.
I think we should hear the remix. No, it's only been played once. So
yeah, premiered yesterday by the mighty Mr. Jam.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, would
you? Play the remix. That'll be dope, man. Let the people hear that.
Illness. Well, no, you need to come and visit us in person sometime at the Foo Bar Radio Studios.
I will do, definitely.
So, and we really look forward to hearing more about the project.
Mm.
And anything more that you want to shout out before you're up out of here?
I'd just like to shout out all the listeners and all the supporters for making it possible, really making this happen. Big up you guys for giving me the call today. I really appreciate it. And just
no problem,
big
sir.
Up the universe, man. I think the universe is doing brilliant things for me at the moment and for all of us. So, you know, we've got to show appreciation.
That's a very strong closing statement.
You ain't kidding, Michael. He's very polite.
Yeah, I do not mess around. Like with my guests.
I'm trying to break the rapper stereotype.
I love it.
That's Cool Keith and Bonkers. Yes. You know?
Yeah.
I'm literally bucking the trend right now, man. Yes. I like that.
See, it's all nonsense stereotypes perpetuated exactly. through rappers. Where are you from originally? Where did you grow up?
In Croydon.
Croydon side.
Mm.
I see.
Yeah,
it's like Croydon. The other side of the world to me. It's like this mythical place. But no, thank you so much for chatting with us. And yeah, we really look forward to catching up with you again soon. And we're going to hit
thank
the
you.
People with the Run the Block remix right about now.
Massive luck with the show tonight, brother, and the release.
See you guys later.
Peace.
See
you, mate. Bye-bye.
She loved the ends. She loved the man. She fucked with Renz. That's cool with me.
I love the professionalism that happens on this show. I'm always so prepared for everything that's happening. That's how I roll.
Yeah,
I'm just talking on my behalf, not your behalf. You're listening to Foobar Radio, and that was the bonkers track that you are on.
Remix.
I'm sorry
yes.
for my complete ignorance,
it's
despite my job title
fine.
DJ, where I should be across these things. But who is on that track?
So that is Bonkers, P Money, and Gender from OGs, myself, Michael Payne, Young's Teflon, and Koji Radical at the end with that amazing sort of spoken word piece. That is the that's the official remix to We Run the Block by the legend that is Bonkers.
Illness.
Yeah.
How do you know him?
I met him. We've got mutual friends, and I think we just sort of met each other. We just started following each other on Instagram. And just had a little chat on Instagram. And then I checked out his stuff. He's checked out one of his videos and thought, this guy is actually brilliant, you know. And we just sort of live our lives as kind of mutual fans of each other. But, you know, mainly like now friends and collaborators as of, you know, a few weeks ago. So it's really cool
as recent as that.
Yeah,
see,
this
that's a really good side of like the online era.
Exactly. Exactly.
Linking
I think there are a lot of, you know, positives that, you know, tracks can get made so quickly now, links can get made, collaborations, and you know, that is one of the pros, although there are many cons of the internet, that is one of the many pros, I feel, that and porn.
Definitely.
Accessible for all.
Accessible for all.
No, but it is a bit freaky how, like, it's, you know, for little uns, how easy it is for them to accidentally
rap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rap.
Yeah.
I think we were still on the subject of porn,
right?
Right. Accidentally stumbled across some porn?
No. Oh, you're not here. But, I'd say that's probably one of the downsides. But
to
other than
the internet.
No, to the internet. Like,
porn.
It just. No, like for little kids accidentally super graphic porn.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good. I've got no kids that I know.
So
about.
You don't give a damn. That's their problem. They can deal with it.
Yeah,
they
for
need
real.
To police their children.
That's it. That probably leads us right into our what we want from FUBAR listeners,
yes, because
right?
Every
week we do.
Are you taking the piss?
I thought you were going to press the button.
I was walking in there. I thought we'd hold. Okay.
Are you taking the piss?
There we are.
That's what we get into. Because we like, you know, English people love to complain and vent, don't they? So we need to give you a platform, the opportunity to vent what has vexed you this week. So that's going to be coming up very soon. We want to hear from you guys about what made you this week say,
are you taking the piss?
Could be someone, something. It could be, we've had machines have been taking the piss.
Yep.
We've had people, public servants, all sorts of things.
Inanimate objects, just anything that's taken the piss, no matter whose fault it is, just where you feel like the piss has been taken from you.
Yeah, like maybe you got a tube up your urethra and that's taking the piss.
That's literally taking the piss.
Literally taking the piss.
If you've had one of your urine samples stolen at your probation office, someone has been taking the piss.
Who's been taking the piss?
And I definitely have something to vent about this week.
Go on.
So I'm looking forward to unleashing that on the masses. Maybe we should play one more track, because very shortly we're going to be speaking to the man like John Z D on the phone, who he is the dude behind Breaking Convention, which is an amazing annual event that happens globally, in fact. And he can't make it into the studio today, but yeah, he's going to be having a chat with us. But Hugh, what's up?
We just got one more tweet as well from someone, Branwyn 74. We're asking what would you spend frivolously on if you had lots of money, when we were talking about the Floyd Mayweather and the crazy shit that he does with his cash. And she says, nothing very frivolous, but I would get myself a house. pronto.
So. Damn. It sounds urgent.
That sounds really urgent.
Pardon me, but are you homeless?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
At the moment, do you know what I mean? And if so, how are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. Can't afford a flat.
Because that was mad urgent.
Yeah, that was.
Just chilling enough. Outside Starbucks, like, rinsing out that free Wi-Fi. Like,
and someone else's phone.
Yeah. It's like, can I just borrow your phone just to send a tweet to Food Bar Radio? Yeah.
Maybe start up a Kickstarter.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
let's get Bran win a house.
No, I think that's definitely a common theme, especially.
I don't think having somewhere just to live is frivolous.
Yeah, I love the way she thought that we'd think that was frivolous. Nothing very frivolous.
Nothing very frivolous, but I would like to have a roof over my head.
And not be homeless if possible. Yeah. But, you know, if that's
asking too much.
Yeah. To say. Yeah, so, you know, you guys get in touch with us at TuesdayJive@foobarradio.com. Tweet us at foobarradio. And I love hearing your voices so much. 0330-223-0200. And I thought I'd play this tune from Loudmouth Melbourne. Do you know Loudmouth?
Of course I know Loudmouth. Produced my latest tune.
Oh.
Yeah, we played it last week, Trafalgar Square. Big shout out to Loudmouth.
Yeah. We're going to play it again. Why are we not playing it again?
Yeah, we could play it again. We'll get me that PRS, man. I've already got a little bit from the Bonkers remix. Yep.
Two tracks so far. We're working on getting you to that Mayweather money.
So I can buy 10 grand's worth of boxes a year.
Yeah, exactly.
And give one of them to Branwen.
Yes. Yeah. I'll definitely donate some of my underwear to you, Branwen, any day.
She needs her kickstart. You're like, I won't give you any money, but here's some underwear. I bumped into Loudmouth out the Mobb Deep show, so I thought, let's represent.
Let's.
And play something from the
man. This is my jam.
Keep it locked at Food Bar. Coming up next, we're going to have a hello from John C.D. I do quite like that line, so many women, so few wifeys, my friend. Actually, I think it was Black the Ripper. Do you know Black the Ripper?
Of course.
Yeah. I saw him tweet a couple of weeks ago where he's like, it's time to be sexy without showing your ass.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
My dad says to me he thinks the most attractive thing in a woman is confidence.
Oh, nice.
He's lying to me.
He's lying.
It? That's not
he's
what
definitely
I'm
lying.
Like. Yeah, he's not normal anyway. So yeah, but so he's not really a good measure of really what men think. But yes, we are. You are tuned into Food Bar Radio, of course. And right now, hopefully, we should have Johnsy D on the line. Are you there, Johns?
I am so there, man. Just about.
You're hanging. Oh my god, I'm exhausted this weekend, and you've been running like the most incredible event. You must be knackered, mate.
I am proper knackered, and I'd like to share with you my knackered voice. You heard me 2 weeks ago on the radio station. Yes, I've come down about 75%, but it's all good. It was a wicked, wicked weekend, man. What did you think of it?
Oh, my God. Well, I didn't manage to make it to any of these events at Sadler's Wells itself, but yesterday, that's got to be one of the best events of the year, and I know we're only, like, in May, but it was that special. Honestly, it was so special. So I'm so proud of you. And I just want to say thank you, John Z, for putting something so beautiful together for the people, all for free.
Freeness, man. We
Our
need
favorite
more
price.
In the world.
$3.99.
Yeah. Hey, Sarah, was this the jam where you had the over 40s B-boy and the Cypher?
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Over 40s, man.
That's amazing because we were just talking about it before, John Z, about, you know, where, like Sarah was asking, you know, when at what age should you stop doing things? What age do you reckon B-boys should stop, or people should stop rapping?
I reckon people should stop rapping when they die.
Ooh. There we is.
I love it. I love it, John Z. That's hip hop. That's hip hop right there. Even if they're whack.
Well, ultimately,
slogan
this hip hop thing is a voice, man. We're always going to have a voice. You know what I'm saying? You know, I think about the culture of stuff like rockabillies and them old metal bikers. You see them old wrinkly old man with their flag.
They're dedicated, man.
You're going to see me. I'm going to be rocking my goose when I'm 75. Watch.
You know yes. It. I saw an old lady, an old white lady. She must have been 70 or 80 or something like that, wearing a three-striped tracksuit. Adidas tracksuit the other day.
I love it.
She looked thug.
I love things like that.
She was definitely not too old to be wearing that tracksuit, definitely not.
You're not convinced me. But well, yeah, what, like, give us a rundown, a roundup of the Breaking Convention weekend. Like, what, for people who weren't there, what was happening?
Okay, Friday night, we had an exclusive over 21s night called The Works. Let me tell you, we had breaking, popping, but with a sexual edge. I'm talking breaking, right? But twerking at the same time.
Wow. Goodness
like,
me.
Hardly
sounds
next
dangerous.
To nothing. We had this one b-boy who was basically b-boying with his trousers around his ankles and nothing else on. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Basically, Philoetic Lara was kind of hosting it, and so it was an amazing night. Never done anything like that before, but it was just brilliant. Next day, we had the whole day of breaking convention, the most immersive experience you'll ever imagine at Sadler's Wells. We had graffiti on the walls, which is so dope. We had the enforcers spinning in the mezzanine. Ow! And the performers, man, we had Les Twins just blew up the place.
Really? I was actually gutted to miss their set. I did see them there yesterday, just cool chilling. Like, they were literally just we're too cool for school.
they were too cool for school. They also had, we had the Ruggeds, who smashed it with their show. And I just want to do a special shout out to Antoinette Gomez from France. She did a track with Nina Simone, where she was whacking, and it was all about her being proud of her beauty and stuff. Oh, it was amazing, man.
To mention the Nina Simone thing, because you know they're making this like Nina Simone film.
Are they?
Right.
Have you heard about those?
Interesting. I have. And who they got actually?
And they've got what's her face? She was in like X-Men or one of them, or whatever it is.
Halle Berry.
White skin, light skin, popular chick at the moment who does like all the black roles. But I mean. And she's going to wear a prosthetic nose.
I'm sorry to preempt this, but are they taking the piss?
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank
Why
you.
Are you taking the piss?
And I just have to say, like, I mean, I used to know Nina Simone. Like, my mum used to work with her, and she would not have been cool with this situation at all. Like, how is it? And then it's kind of like, I understand how the film industry works, where they need big names to bring attention to films, and that's why people get cast. But then at the same time, that's a terrible sign of the times that there aren't any dark-skinned, like, high-profile female actresses that they feel are adequate to, promote a movie.
Lupita.
Zoe Saldana, that's it. Props to her. Beautiful lady, wonderful actress. But come on, that's the most fitting person they could find to play Nina Simone. Get out of here.
I don't know who the casting dude is. I don't know who cast it, but blame them. Because Zoe's getting a whole bunch of flack for it. But she's just doing the work where the work is, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can't really blame her anyway. But whoever's the casting agent, you are dumb and you are taking the piss, mate.
Hey, what about you, Johnsy? Anyone or anything being taken the piss this week? Anything you need to vent?
I have to say this, right? So, we've been doing this festival for a while now. Everybody knows that it sells out. Yeah. I mean, it sold out a week ago before it actually happened. But yet still, on the day, I'm getting people calling me saying, John's Bridger, what are you saying,
man?
Oh,
yeah.
Give me a couple of tickets.
I bet I know who those phone calls were coming from as well.
Those
That's
guys.
Why I wasn't there bothering was you, like, since last week, Johnsy. I'm like, I know he's, like, up to his eyeballs with, like, things to do. The last thing he needs to worry about is silly things like that.
Are you taking the
piss?
There was
a list of them. Sorry, can we rewind? There was a list of them, and they were all, look, are you taking the piss, mate?
Yeah, you just hit them with that standard cut and paste reply to their messages. No, I feel you on that one, definitely. But hey, closed mouth don't get fed.
That was the reason why on a Monday, yesterday, we had the Freeness Park Jam.
Exactly.
Had to pay.
No, but it was crazy because I arrived late, unfortunately. When I got there was a long-ass queue outside where it was literally like, they were one in, one out kind of business. But I turned up. I was like, okay, I can't be queuing, so I just speeched it.
I hate queuing as well.
I don't do queuing. No. But I was just super impressed with the incredible turnout. That was monster. Do you have any idea how many people were there?
I don't know, to be honest with you, because I was in there most of the time talking to people all day. I didn't leave the park once, so I heard about the queues, but I didn't see them. But personally, I think that we could have got a few more people in the park. I don't think it was that ram.
I hate it when they say places are capacity and you've literally got enough room. I went to an event, I'm not going to say what brand it was, because I actually really like the brand and they'll probably get quite angry at me. But they, you know, you I think it's sometimes to just feign this, you know, to make it look oversubscribed so the event looks super popular. You've got a queue outside and I managed to bypass the queue because I'm one of those do you know who I am type people. I'm not even going to lie to you. So I made the necessary calls, got into the event, and then my mate literally lay on the floor and rolled around for yards just to prove how much space there was in this place. You know?
That's
it was
ridiculous.
Every single person on the queue outside could have got in, and this place still wouldn't have been over capacity. It was a power station, for
Liberties.
God's sake.
Health and safety gone mad.
Exactly.
Are they taking a piss?
Mm.
But one of the funny things yesterday, John C at the park jam, like everyone that I was seeing, it's like, hey, how are you doing? So lovely to see you. You having a nice day? They're like, same answer came from everybody. I'm just looking for my kids. Because everyone was there, because it was like everyone was just looking for their kids the whole day. But it was like, it was just wicked, like having multi-generations there. So thank you so much.
It was a pleasure, man. I was just going to say about looking for the kids. I think that the parents were the ones that were getting lost, and they're trying to blame
you. Yeah, you know,
so.
The ones.
I think so. They were deep in the 40-plus B-boy circle, and they were deep in battle, holding their reputation. It's like kids can fend for themselves. But
listen, guys, if you want to just hashtag Park Jam, and you'll just see everything on Instagram. Everything, check out YouTube and stuff, but look for Breaking Convention Park Jam.
I'm gonna do
see
that.
What you missed. See what you missed.
It was wicked. It was so wicked, and everyone was walking around with a smile on their face, and I just thought, this is just vibes that we should have all the time happening.
When is the next one? When's the next jams coming up?
Next year, basically. But I'll tell you what, nice
tell
time
you what,
to
mate.
Let you know I'm doing the Edinburgh Festival with my solo show. And that's in August, so that's going to be the next thing, big thing for me before Breaking Convention. Amazing. Then after that, we're doing the Harlem Apollo in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
With Breaking Convention.
Sorry.
I'm telling you, we're going global, mate.
Yes, and we're going to talk more about all of that too, John Z. But you're a star. Thank you so much for creating Breaking Convention and such a wonderful weekend that was had by so many. And we look forward to next year. So, yes, keep us posted with everything cool happening so we can shout you out on FUBAR.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. You guys have a great afternoon, man.
You too, sir.
Yeah, man, the sun is shining right now, so I'm going to go out and get it.
Yeah,
don't get it.
Enjoy.
Keep rejecting those MBEs, mate.
Yes. That's how we like it. Okay, Johns, you take care. Have a wicked day, bro.
No doubt. Peace and love, Sarah.
Bye.
Same to you, sir. Peace.
I do love to hear what FUBAR listeners go through each week.
Yeah.
They
seem like such a tormented...
Are you taking the piss? But that's just English people. This
yeah,
is
that's
just a representation
true. I think they. I genuinely
English
think they should update
monologue.
The national anthem to just a long list of rhyming complaints.
Yeah, basically.
That would be quite cool.
Oh, but then that would kind of involve the Queen in them lyrics as well, because I think there's a lot of complaints about her as well.
Yeah, that's all good.
Yeah. That's
all, maybe Jonesy could write it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure he'd have some really good stuff to say.
But I'm loving Carl... Not my real name, Obs, he says.
Yeah, because Carl is obviously a moniker.
But I love why you ever you picked Carl. Anyway, Carl. But yes, yeah, so Carl says, because we're asking you guys, what this week made you say, are you taking the piss? Carl says, my boss just denied my holiday request today. I've got Glastonbury tickets. He is taking the piss and I will be calling in sick.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that is a piss take. Yeah.
Are you taking the piss?
But could you
are
not
fully
maybe
taking
have
the piss.
Got the okay before you bought the tickets?
That's the thing, isn't it?
Carl,
no, but
in inverted
then
commas, Bob's.
But Glastonbury tickets, you've got the mouth down there.
Yeah, you've got that window.
That's like an hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
While they before they sell out or something, like they sell out on crazy
literally,
record speed.
Yeah,
it,
exactly.
So
exactly.
I understand Carl like trying to be prepared and everything.
Yeah,
but yeah.
But then you've got to be mindful that half the office are probably trying to get to Glastonbury as well, and that's going to be that's probably going to be like you know there's going to be like loads of red crosses on dates in loads of calendars across the UK. you know, spanning Glastonbury and like Reading and Leeds and Latitude Festival. No one is leaving at this time, you know, because if one person leaves, everyone leaves, you know.
Yeah, basically. What about you, Michael? Is there something this week that's made you
this week? Or since the last show, I think the biggest piss take I've had.
I like how it's the standard part of the English experience, the British experience. Sorry,
Jordan. I'm gonna name and shame Jordan from Rizzle Kicks. Sorry, mate of mine. Meant to be recording a tune, meant to be recording a verse on a tune, just pissed off to Ibiza.
Are you taking the piss?
You must be, mate.
It's terrible.
He's terrible. He's a terrible guy.
Yeah, really?
I love him nonetheless.
He's a bad human being.
Poor dude.
Sorry, mate, I called you out.
Yeah, no, fair enough, with no warning. But you know sometimes when you get given those offers where it's like...
Do you know, he went to me, oh yeah, bad news, no. I'm afraid. And I went...
That's not a good way to drop
what?
It.
Well, you know, the only thing that in his defence, the only thing that saved him is that at the same time, the studio that we were meant to be recording in, there's a problem with their fuse box at the moment, so the electrics are all out of whack right
so
now.
So it all kind of...
But I found that out after he went to me. Bad news, mate. Just decided I'm going to go for a yoga retreat in Ibiza. Yoga retreat as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yoga retreat in inverted commas. Yeah, whatever. That's a piss up.
Exactly.
A piss up pulling girls in Ibiza.
Yeah, yoga means coke, yeah? Is that a street name for coke? Yoga?
I would not be surprised.
Oh, dear.
I got one. Uber. Bloody Uber. The taxi service Uber. So
bloody Uber, mate.
On Saturday night, I just finished DJing and I was trying to get an Uber to go from King's Cross back to Shoreditch.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I clicked request Uber, it put in a completely different address, so I'd have to cancel. So I would go like, every time, no matter what I did.
Did you know the address it was putting in?
No.
So just some random.
It put in three different random that were all really, really far away from where I was, not even close to where I was. So every time I did it, I'd be like, shit, got to cancel it. So I cancelled it. And then it took, on the fourth time, it finally let me put in the address where I actually was. Got my cab. Just got four emails from Uber this morning, all of them receipts.
Oh,
the three
Jesus.
Times I cancelled it, they charged me £5 for each one, and then the receipt for the actual fare. So that
Uber
one
piss take.
That one trip ended up costing me £35 or something like that.
And it wasn't even New Year's
And it
Day.
Wasn't even that far. Uber, are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
They are fully... See, this is their hustle. They make out like it's cheap fares, but really, they're just pulling these tricks to pay their bills.
£5 just to cancel it. What?
That's mad.
Hey, we're getting stacks here.
Oh, I love keep you guys.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Tuesday drive at foodbarradio.com. Tweet us at foodbarradio. What this week made you say?
Are you taking the piss?
We've got Vina in Essex. She's emailed us in Tuesday drive at foodbarradio.com. She says, my boyfriend said I should save money on the hairdresser and he would cut my fringe. It's so so wonky.
Famous
I can't
last
leave.
Words.
It's so wonky. I can't leave the house without a hat on now. He is really taking the piss.
Are you taking the piss?
If you'll excuse the pun, that is bang out of order.
Thank
more
you.
For
oh, thank you.
Yeah. Just displaying my knowledge of female haircuts there.
Yes, but oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's her own. Own fault.
Yeah, more for it you really for is. Being sucked into that storyline. And I bet he just spent the money on beer or something.
For real. And does he not have a? Does he not have a spirit level? You know, does he not do DIY?
Oh, I'm sorry. It will grow back soon.
Mm. We've got Morgan Karina in London Fields. She's emailed us in saying her local news agent has run out of toffee crisps. Taking the piss or what, mate?
Are you taking the piss?
You've got to re-up.
That's like the lifeline.
That's it, yeah. Well, certain things run out. You've got to re-up. Or you've got to anticipate the depletion and re-up straight away. Mm. Especially on toffee crisps, man.
Yeah, that's serious.
Yeah.
That's serious right there.
Top of the confectionery pyramid. It's not like it's a Bourneville. Or something. You don't have to re-up on that. No one buys that.
Everyone tries that once.
Everyone has got the same delivery of Bourneville as they had when they first opened their business
in 1986.
No one's ever put in a new delivery. Every Bourneville in existence right now is vintage.
Yes.
If you look at the sell by date, I'd say that it probably went off in like 1987 or something.
Yes.
Yeah, here we go. We've got some more. Sam in Didcot is emailed through as well. I work with someone I've fancied for ages. She's single, and I told my mate in the office. Aww. Now, the chief has taken her out, asked her out. They're going on a date. Absolute piss take. I'm livid.
Sam.
Liberty.
Are you taking the piss?
You need to tell. That's cold. But that's like something out of Geordie Shore. Are you in Geordie Shore? Who's this person?
Sam.
Yeah, that's like Geordie Shore goes to work.
And then that would end up in a threesome.
Yes. Like, really, you see, you've got a play to, you know, turn this into a positive.
Absolutely.
Glass are full, potentially.
Oh, here we go. What else do we got? We've got another one here. This one is from a mystery person who doesn't want to put their name to anything.
I love all this, like, anonymous.
I
don't want to be exposed here.
This one
I
is
might get in trouble.
Oh, I've we've had a shampoo one before.
Yeah,
we?
I've got some good life advice.
We get a lot of hair stories.
This mystery person says, I've run out of shampoo today, and now I've dirty hair. My empty bottle of Head and Shoulders is taking the piss. Here's some life advice. Do what I do. Fucking don't wash your hair at all.
Basically. No, but these people who wash their hair every day, that's not healthy either. You see, maybe the universe is trying to tell you something.
Stop.
Yeah, to change the routine. Mm. You see, we've got to turn these into positives.
Let's spread
this positive energy around the UK.
And
beyond. I have something which I think is kind of taking the piss. It's been a gripe of mine going for a little while. Quinoa.
I
love the sudden popularity.
No. I love quinoa. But why the hell is it pronounced quinoa?
Yeah, why can't we speak quinoa?
Are you taking the piss?
With quinoa? Like, why are they tricking us like this all the time?
Yeah. I understand. Making you sound uncultured when you say it the first time until some middle class person corrects you.
Making you sound mad posse.
Well, have you know, it's actually quinoa.
Hey, guys.
What do you mean it's not quinoa?
Can I get a quinoa salad? Oh, you say it really tentatively, don't you? Yeah, I know. And then you say it like under your breath. Can I get a quinoa salad?
But you sound like Ponzi saying quinoa.
Yeah.
And you have to say quinoa.
Sorry, is that yogurt biodynamic? No, it's not. I'll just get the quinoa then. That's fine.
This is why I love American people sometimes, because they don't care. They don't care about how your fancy way of spelling things. If it sounds like a Z, I'm going to put a Z in there. Standard. What do you mean an S makes a Z sound? That's why I kind of I rate them a little, you know, quite highly.
No, but I love quinoa. I'm promoting the quinoa lifestyle, but let's just rebel and call it quinoa.
Quinoa sounds better.
It does. It sounds like a nice island where your mate is probably going to go to next.
Quinoa sounds like patois slang.
Or it's going to be Kanye's next kid or something.
Quinoa
Kardashian.
We've got another one for this. This needs to be a shout out and also a taking the piss, because I got a message on my Facebook from some people that are tuning in right now. And it's going to be hard for me to pronounce this, but this is the Aqua Arensanwalo Beach in Mallorca. So the beach resort. So shout out to you guys for tuning in.
Are you taking
the piss? I wish I was there right now.
For real.
They said free sunbeds and beer if we ever want to go there. Are you taking the piss?
We're stuck in London.
Taking the piss.
Pay for our flight.
Just showing off. They're showing off.
And they could go along with Rizzle Kicks dude as well.
Yes.
Yeah, with their lavish international beach lifestyle, taking the piss. That just takes it to a whole new level, doesn't it?
You should be in the studio. Mm.
Yes, exactly. You should be in the studio working. Keep hitting us up.
We've got one more.
Go on.
Have we got time? How much time have we got? Because it's nearly six.
No. I want to hear him.
He says, this is from Brad in Southend. He says, I ran to get a delicious 99p whippy, but the ice cream man was just pulling off.
Wait.
I'm craving that whippy.
See, that's not a euphemism, is it? That's not a euphemism, is it? The ice cream man was just pulling off.
Ooh.
After our conversation earlier about what goes into that big vat that just lives in there all year and never gets cleaned out.
And the sentence after is put, I'm craving that whippy now.
I know, it's not even saying is anything taking the piss. It's just like, it's like saying to someone, oh, what's been taking the piss this week? I want an ice cream. Okay, sure. Okay, cool. Kind of left field, but still glad to get your feedback.
Or blaming a shampoo bottle for not replenishing itself.
I know, that's the other thing.
I love it. This is just Britishness at its peak.
Yeah.
I think another thing that was kind of taking a piss, in my opinion, is spending like the best part of 10 minutes on the news chatting about this royal baby's name.
Oh my God.
Are you taking the piss? Yeah.
Like there isn't things going on in the world. This is 10 o'clock news, nationwide news. 10 minutes. Like all you need to do is give her a shout out. Like big ups to the one
Did you see that tweet that went viral recently? Because this woman, when they were having, is it George? Is the first one George? The first royal
George
baby?
Blood. Yeah.
George fam.
Yes fam.
G. Just G.
G.
With a capital G, yeah. This woman guessed the royal baby's name when the first baby was born.
Oh my God.
Exactly. Like,
literally, she guessed
the letter.
This baby's
she
name.
She got the correct spelling of George and everything.
No, she guessed okay. this. Is it Charlotte?
Yeah.
Is this baby called Charlotte? Yeah.
Charlotte.
Yes. She guessed Charlotte's name, even down to just every aspect of the name, all the names. Because I don't even know what this kid's
name
is.
All that business.
Yeah.
I feel embarrassed that I know. It's because I watched the news.
Yeah,
and then
you can't
I was
get
like,
away
I'm
from
waiting
it,
for
can
this
you?
Story to end, and it's just going on and on. I was waiting to hear
and
about like.
Pardon
things.
Me as well, but I just think that the royal family have the most boring names in existence. To be fair,
what all of their names?
All their names are well boring. Harry
what
and
do you
William
want?
Quinoa. Quinoa. Call your kid quinoa. Quinoa. Call your kid like do a Chris Martin. Call your kid Apple or something.
I know,
you know what I mean?
It's weird.
But it's not even up to them. It has to go through like a whole panel of executives
that's
who determine.
Whack.
And they probably suggested quinoa and they were like, no,
and got fired.
You can't have quinoa.
Or just
it's
in the Tower
blood.
Of London.
Yeah. So they weren't having it. It's true.
Let's get some exotic blood. Names in.
Says Sarah. Their names are really boring.
But your name's Sarah Love.
Thank you. And I'm
and
Sarah
love's never
Jane,
boring.
Hyphenated too. So it kind of. And my middle name is Maxwell.
There you go.
I
is
have
really?
A boy's middle name.
There you go.
Because it's passed down through the boys in my family. And my mum, on the fourth daughter, was like, ain't having no more kids. So I got
you get
the
Maxwell.
Boy's name.
Gosh, I'm so glad I was a boy. If I was a girl, I was going to be called Angharad.
Oh.
Yeah, which I'm is a traditional Welsh well. Name. Yeah.
That's like, fly. Hey,
really? Oh,
I'm loving
Anger.
It.
I would have been called
Anger.
Anger.
Yeah, in Australia.
Angered.
No, I don't like that name. I don't want that name.
Oh, no, I'm down with the Welsh names, especially ones with double L in and all that kind of business. The Llandidwy, is that a place or something? Yes, but it's been so lovely, as always, every week, hanging out with you FUBAR listeners.
Yeah.
You can get in touch with us in between the show, tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. Are you with us next week, Michael? I don't even know when Doc is coming
so.
Back.
I hope I get the nod from producer Nat. Am I with
you?
I am
yay,
nice
yay,
next
Nat.
Week.
Mr.
Lovely to know.
Yes, so you make sure you tune in with us guys then as well, and you know we'll be hearing what you think is made you say are you taking the piss again next week too, so keep it locked with FUBAR Radio. Thank you so much
and,
for hearing from all of you.
Just before we go, the brand new show from Justin Lee Collins is starting tonight at 7 p.m. 7 to 9 p.m. with JLC, so make sure you tune in for that.
Yes,
awesome.
Keep it positive, people. I thought I'd send them off on this positive note that you can hear for like 30 seconds
lovely.
Before the show ends. Yeah. Love yourselves. Spread that love. Peace. Tribulation, but I know God. Satan wanna put me in a bow tie. Pray that the holy water don't go dry.